Shabbat Shalom, everyone. There it goes. Okay. And looks like that's working. Now I'll start the video and see how that's going to work. There it is. And can you see the picture? I hope. That's it. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Okay. So, okay, we are one of Messiah congregation. We're going to blow the trumpet in Zion. Well, thank you, everyone. Yes, we are one of Messiah congregation, and it's the Sabbath, and it's Happy Purim to everyone. 2018. We were talking about that this morning, my wife and I. It's been about either 20 or 21 centuries since they first said it's do it every century, and they would never believe this is the 21st century. Here we are doing celebrating it. It's pretty amazing from the time of Esther. But anyway, we are just a little piece of the Israel of God, and it's the Sabbath of God. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, we just thank and praise you, Lord and God, that we could even be here in front of you. We ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that's incorrect, any inconsistencies that will displease you in our lives. We pray that you'll take them away and make us more pleasing to you, Father. Bless and anoint this Sabbath, and bless and anoint this Purim. We just thank and praise you for the victory over our enemy and even our enemies today, Father. You're aware of them. We may not see them, but you see them. You see everything, Father. You don't miss anything. Bless and anoint this day, this study. Bless everyone on the internet. Bless everyone here. Give everyone, increase our faith. Give everyone wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the fear of God. And may God be with you. May God comfort you and heal you in Yeshua's name. And may God bless you today with joy of the Lord, which is our strength in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here we are in 27 South Maple Street, Hohenwald, Tennessee. And we're in, there's the phone numbers, there's the email, and there's my website. So you can never say you can never get a hold of me. I am so available. But anyway, okay. Today is March 3rd. And unfortunately, this month, March, is known as the month of Mars. Mars. Isn't that crazy? And this is supposed to be a long time ago. They started this as the beginning of the year, the original beginning of the year. And the time of the resumption of war. I don't know why they want to start war again. But Mars is the Roman god of war. He's identified with the Greek god Eris. And that's really amazing that that's what this month, March, is all about. I almost called it Mars. Anyway, knowing all that, we jump now to the calendar of God. And the calendar of God tells us we're in the month of Adar. And it's the 14th day, the first day of Purim. We have 2 days to rejoice. And just like we're going to read about, just be joyful and happy and send gifts one to another if you need them or anything you need. And the word Adar means to be glorious, to make honorable. And another meaning is a cloak or a mantle. That's the word Adar. And there it is right there. Adar means glorious or hidden. In Esther 3:7, the first month that is called Nisan, we all know that. And we have the 12th month, which is called Adar. So we do keep connection with the calendar of God. You know, that's really important. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I always like to bring up subjects that maybe you're not aware of and maybe you're not familiar with. I like to bring them into focus. It's like I'm like a true lens. I'm trying to bring you into focus. Here we are. I like to underleave some for you. My website is running back there. So you could actually read the websites. You could actually listen to the websites. You could watch the videos. You can never say that, wow, what did he say? Because you could always hear it again if I talk too fast. And let's see. We're in the POW Talk room. I believe we're streaming right now. We went through all the settings. We got a new camera. new video, I should say, a video projector. And thank God for that. Our other one was very faithful. It lasted for, it still works, but we ran out of technology on that one. We had to get some new technology. You have to keep up with technology. That's the way life is nowadays. Everything's an upgrade. Anyway, there's the URL you put in the Real Player. And of course, I'm still waiting for invitations to come over and do some lectures or teachings on the Hebrew roots, if anyone's would like that. Anyway, today's Purim, so happy Purim. And it's today and tomorrow, but today's the Sabbath, that's why we're here. So we're going to review the word Adar again. And there it is, hidden, invisible, it's a star, Adar. There's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you know anything about Hebrew, the first letter has no sound. It's silent or hidden. And the word dar in Hebrew means to dwell or to live. So just by those two, just by that one word, I can almost see that the word Adar, when I break it down, it can convey a message to me, at least, that the invisible God wants to dwell among you and in us. And I get that from Exodus 25, verse 8. God says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exodus 29, 45 says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I, Yehovah, their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Amen. I know God is for sure the God that took me out of my last life of sin, which was in Egypt, my last life of sin. And that he says that I may dwell among them. I am Yehovah their God. So God definitely wants to dwell among us. Adar also has a connotation of the word mantle or cloak. And the word hadassah and esther, there it is in Hebrew. It says hadassahi, esther. And that's what that says. And we see that the word Esther means star. But the word, but the root of the word Esther is satar, which means hidden. So you notice how the whole thing, Adar and hidden and Esther and all this, it's all the same, has the same kind of words. Notice the word, and what's interesting about this book, Esther, the word God, Lord, Jehovah, are hidden. In this book of Esther, these words are not even mentioned. There's no mention of God or Lord or Jehovah or nothing. So God is hidden, even though we know that they fasted unto the God of Israel, of course. But it's not mentioned for some reason. And so it takes, again, on the whole connotation of hidden or invisible. And that's the way God is. So something or someone glorious is hidden. And we know the morning star. In the morning star, the word is the word of Jehovah, the real Messiah, hidden from the world. Is he hidden today from the world? Yes. Yeah, it's very sad. And you have to sometimes, I tell people all the time to check their Bibles in Isaiah 14, 12, because it says right there, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? In the Hebrew, it's Ech, Nefalta, Mishamayim, Hillel ben Shachar. And you can read the rest in Hebrew if you like. But anyway, ben Shachar is very important. Hillel ben Shachar. The word Hillel, which they used to put Lucifer there, when you cross it down in the Yud root in Hebrew, it's Yelel. That means to wail, to howl, lament. Something very, you know, sad. And ben Shachar, the word Shachar is black, you know, ben Shachar. It's the son of the blackness of the morning. So I don't know where they get this morning. You know, all the other Bibles call it, they call the devil, the morning, the shining star. But Yeshua is the morning star, not Satan. He's the blackness of the morning. You can go to Revelation 22:16. It says, Yeshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of, and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So we see who the morning star is. It's Yeshua, not Lucifer. So, now for the new people, and for anyone that's listening that might be new, you might ask, why do we observe and acknowledge Purim anyway? So to do that, we have to read Esther chapter 9. So let's read this. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Dar, so that's verified again, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, the Jews had rule over them that hated them, thank God. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hold on such, to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Yeah, God could make the fear of you fall upon your enemies too. And all the rulers of the province and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Amen. So God can do that. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Amen. God can do that to you. He can elevate you. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. Amen. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And then it says this a few times. We have the 10 sons of Haman there. I'm probably going to mess this up, but in English it's Parshadatha, Dauphan, Asphatha, Horatha, Adelia, Aridda, Parmasta, Arisai, Aridai, and Vyazdatha. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. These are the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamuthutha, the enemy of the Jews. They slew, they hanged, but on the spoil they laid not their hands. That's right. So I looked up the word of this Hamuthutha, the Agite. He's Haman, you know, and he's an Agite. The word Agite is a descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites, king of Amalek. That used to be a city. And then there was a person called Amalek, and I traced that back to Esau. So you can see the enemies are all in the same seed there. Because God says in Exodus 17, Yehovah said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I'll utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And he definitely does throughout every generation, which is really amazing. And now we'll go back to Esther 9. So again, you might ask, well, I never did this Purim before. What's this all about? I mean, it's not a hag, it's a mishtay, you know, a different kind of feast. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king, and the king said unto Esther the queen, Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace and 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? It shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Further, it shall be done. See how God could take your enemies and turn them to you? Then said Esther, Hadassah, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. For some reason it says it again, even though it says they were hung before. And the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were slain in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on the prey they laid not their hand. It says, but the other Jews that were in the king's province gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. So it's pretty amazing that on the 13th day of the month Adar and on the 14th day of the same rested day and made it a day of feasting and gladness. And then the Jews that were in Shushan They assembled themselves on the 13th day thereof. That's when they assembled. But on the 14th day and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. And then it says, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns, they made the 14th day of Adar a day of gladness and feasting and a good day and sending portions one to another. And that's why it's so nice to live around each other. We would do that. Obviously, we're too far to do that. And Mordecai, you know, he took note of everything what he was doing. And he wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. And he is to establish this among them that they should keep. He just made it the both days, the 14th day of the month of Adar, the 15th day of the same yearly. And as the days, it says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies and the month, which was turned from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day, and that they should make them the days of feasting and joy and send portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And that's what these days are. And the Jews undertook to do so, to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hamadutha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them and cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. And when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked devices, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows, which obviously took place. So, wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Pur is the lot, so it's lots. Purim is plural. Therefore, all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them. That means even if you're a Gentile and you join the Israel of God, you become as the Jews, so as it should not fail. So these days should not fail, that they should keep these 2 days, the 14th and 15th of Adar, according to their writing and according to their appointed time every season. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. And this is the generation we're in, the 21st century, and we're remembering it. Isn't that amazing? Every family, every province, every city. And that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. So now you know why we're doing it. Because it's to be remembered in every generation. And here we are. It's just amazing. 20 or 21 centuries went by since this was written, at least. And here we are now in the 21st century. We're doing it today. That's amazing to me. You know. Anyway, then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim and their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matter of the fasting and their cry. Amen. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book, which we are reading today and observing in 2018, the 21st century. And I always find another hidden message in this book. So it's really, before I get into this, it's always a blessing to God that I always bless the Lord that he can save us from every enemy and from everything that comes against us when we rebuke Satan. And I just thank God for the power that God's given us. In the book of Esther, I see a hidden message of Messiah too. And let's review the death, resurrection, deliverance, and salvation. And these are just my thoughts. I don't know. These are my thoughts you can consider. 13th day of the first month in the evening, just before Passover, Nisan, or Ha'aviv 14. Esther 3. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, And there was written, according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, as it was it written and sealed with the king's ring. So that weasel wanted to really get the Jews, you know. Remember, he's just a descendant, descendant of Amalek and Esau, you know, and Agag, you know, and the Amalekites, and they're all in it together. So then we go to Esther 4. It says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye with me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days and three nights. Anyway, that sort of sounds like Jonah, doesn't it? It says right here, Jonah, now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up the Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That was the only sign given that Messiah said. And says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And that's exactly what's going on. So we have already those days. Back to Esther. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. Everything's royal, if you notice. And over against the gate of the house. Surprised it's not a royal gate. Anyway, it might be. Hold on a second. Sounds like Messiah's resurrection on the third day there. And the word third day in the Bible, in the Gospels, is about 15 times in scriptures. Here's one right here. It says, and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that could be obviously the 16th day of Nisan. And then we have Esther 5, verse 8. It says, if I have found favor, this is Esther talking. She says to King Ahasuerus, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I have prepared for them, and I will do tomorrow, this is tomorrow, as the king had said. Obviously, tomorrow after the 16th would be the 17th day of Nisan, or Ha'aviv. And then read below, it says, so the king Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said unto king, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is your petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted you, and what is your request, and it shall be performed, even to the half of my kingdom. Very generous king there, going to give away half of his kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? I'm the king. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is that wicked Haman. Oh, Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Anyway, and the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath went into his palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Queen Esther, to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. I bet. Bad move. Then the king returned out of his palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. Sounds like a festive kind of place, huh? The banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the bed. Oh, no. Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. He's going to be hanged. There he goes. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for you. For good for the king. stand it in the house, O Haman, of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. And I thank God for that. So we see the people of God delivered, Yeshua risen, rose on the third day. And we see it was the 17th of Aviv Nisan, Messiah delivered us and is still delivering us today. You know, this is not a long study today because it's a joyful day and I thank God we could be here. I hope you got something out of this study. A lot of hidden things in the book of Esther. Maybe there's more that I've never discovered yet. If you find any, let me know. I parse the words down. I see a message of Messiah. I see victory there. Now I just wanted to show you what you might, if you pass some synagogues, this is what they're doing. This is sort of weird. This is what the Jews in Judaism say that don't believe in the Messiah.
Oh, Angela, you're not even on the mic.
I'm not on the mic. Oh, I must have. Are you serious? On my mic, I am. My mic. Oh, okay. Let me get off the mic for a second, come back on. Tell me if do you see me now? No. Oh, boy, I was on. That's nice to know. Tell me.
Last night.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, I'm coming back. Well, can you hear me now? I'm sorry that you guys missed the whole study. You'll have to hear it later. Well, anyway, this is what you might, if we go to a synagogue, and if you might hear some people, here's what the synagogue people are doing. They said, we're commanded to eat and drink and be merry. So they took that, eat and drink and be merry, and according to the Talmud, a person is required to drink until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. That's ridiculous. And of course, you know, though opinions differ as to exactly how much to drink, a person certainly cannot become so drunk that he might violate other commandments or get seriously ill. In addition, recovering alcoholics or others who might suffer serious harm from alcohol are exempt from this obligation. So they're calling it an obligation to get so drunk and smashed that you can't tell the difference and be merry. In addition, this is what the Jews say, not us. It says, we are commanded to send out gifts, food, and drink, and to make merry to charity. Gifts to charity. Sending of gifts of food and drink is referred to as shalach manos, sending out portions among the Ashkenazi Jews, a common treat at the time of the year, I don't even remember how to say that. Hamenstocken, sounds German. Haman's pockets, a little. These are triangular fruit-filled cookies are supposed to represent Haman's three cornered hat, which I don't even know where it says that. Judaism just makes stuff up. It's customary to hold carnival-like celebrations on Purim. Did you know that? Carnival-type celebrations, to perform plays and parodies, and to hold beauty contests. Did you know that's what the Jews, that's what they turned this into, a big game. I've heard that says that unusual prohibitions against cross-dressing are lifted during this holiday, but I'm not certain about that. Americans sometimes refer to Purim as the Jewish Mardi Gras. That's what some Jews do. Purim is not subject to the Sabbath-like restrictions on word that some other holidays are. However, some sources indicate that we should not go about our ordinary business on Purim out of respect for the holy day. Holiday. So Judaism makes up all these rules and regulations that are not found in the Bible. And the Talmud Megillah 7b Rabbah said, it's the duty of a man to mellow himself with wine on Purim until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. I have the Talmud to prove that if you don't believe me. So that's what it says. There are fancy dress parties, including a tradition of cross-dressing, mockery of those who at the times are much respected. Deuteronomy simply tells us Women shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. All that do such are an abomination unto Yehovah thy God. So, you know, that's the scripture, but obviously they turn Purim into an orgy. Just do your own thing, whatever you feel like doing. Anyway, the letter to the Hebrews tells us, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I've given many messages that God is invisible. He's always around us somewhere. And may God be with us all the time, everywhere we go, and lead, guide, and direct us. As Moses, we need to endure as seeing him, God, Messiah, who's invisible. He's hidden, you know? And it does seem like the God of this world is hidden. You know, people go, where is God? I don't see him. Well, we see him everywhere in God's animals and God's flowers and God's trees and God's air we breathe and everything that goes on. God is, he's there. So be aware in your life, you know, always check for false data, false people, false situations, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, forged documents, fabrications, and misdirection. They're all lies. You might find yourself painted in the wrong picture frame, so be careful. Always remind each other about the ways of God, lest we forget about the God of Israel. It's really important. Seek and search out the truth. So remember, the God of Israel is hidden today, even in Israel. The God of Israel's land is given away. The God of Israel's true people are hidden. The God of Israel's true Messiah, the Word of God, are hidden. The God of Israel's justice and judgment are hidden. Judgments. The God of Israel's Torah, laws, commandments are hidden. The God of Israel's feasts are hidden. The God of Israel's Sabbath is definitely hidden. The God of Israel's food laws are hidden. The God of Israel's calendar is hidden. So you might even come up with some other things that they're not recognized by the world today, because you can look out the window, no one's doing any of this stuff, these things. In most Bibles, from the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, in English, the word Yah is only one time in Psalm 68:4. The other 50 times it's missing. The word Jehovah is only 7 times. Over 65,000 times it's missing. 6,500, excuse me. All the other many times the Hebrew word Yah and Jehovah are replaced by either the words capital L-O-R-D or capital G-O-D. In most Bibles, Yah and Jehovah are missing in both the Greek and English in all the Gospels and letters. You don't ever find that in the Gospels and letters for some reason. And there's so much more. So if you could see that, you know, a verse always comes to my mind when I read this, and it's the verse in Jeremiah 23:27. Some people try to cause God's people to forget his name, and they try to do it with their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their father had forgotten my name for Baal. And that's what's going on. You know, people have forgotten the God of Israel for fake Yeshuas and fake gods, and now everything of God is hidden. But I thank God that he's revealed himself to us. And it is a blessing. He has revealed himself to us. Otherwise, we would never know. I mean, I thank God that he's even looked, he knows our hearts better than we do. And may God always purify our hearts. Thank God. Anyway, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Be safe out there on Purim, and may God bless you today, and may God comfort you. And if you missed the study, because, I don't know, for one reason or another, the audio will be on later, the video will be on later, and I want to say Shabbat Shalom and Happy Purim again. So that's important. I'm going to stop the audio real quick. Let me stop that. Thank you for being here.